everybody.
Welcome back to the Brohio Podcast Show. I'm Nick, and this is Rob.
I am Rob. Hi. How's everyone doing on this fabulous day? Well, whatever day you're listening, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like podcasts in general is kind of like being in a time machine.
Yeah, this is Sunday.
I think
about 8 o'clock.
I worked so much this week. I have no idea what day it is.
Yeah, this week was pretty bad. The day off.
Weird.
Yeah, it was.
America.
Yeah.
So weird.
Gives that little extra day to think about how crazy your life is.
How free we are.
How free we are.
I was tracking back through some of our episodes this week, and I think I used the F word in the first 15 seconds of every podcast.
Oh, why the fuck not?
Right, and I've made it pretty far this time. This episode is about Jeffrey Dahmer, so I think that the opportunity for cursing in this episode,
it's like going to be at a maximum.
It's going to be there.
Yeah,
so I think I'll hold off. What if we made an episode that didn't have a little E next to it in iTunes?
Ooh.
Could you do it?
I don't think I could.
People would be like, you guys stupid, you suck now because you quit. One gave his life to the Lord, and now they don't talk about cool shit no more. Bunch of fucking dumbasses.
I honestly don't know if I can. That's a part of my vernacular. So like, it's like every other word is a profanity.
Right. Even in moments of joy, someone would walk up to me like, "Hey, I just found $3 million and I want to give it to you." Well, fuck me. You're a solid motherfucker. You know that?
Sorry. You can't help it.
No. Man. You can't help it. We're helpless.
Yeah, we really
If there's
are.
One thing I've learned from my wife over the past decade, it's I'm completely helpless.
We're pieces of shit.
And we did communicate with some other podcasts this week. We're going to plug some other people. We're going to get it right off the rip, so if they're listening, they don't have to listen any further. They can just stop. But we've been, I guess we should say, you know, chatting with some other podcasts here that are going to plug us. We have... This podcast is haunted by Jen and Kate. They're two friends from Michigan who love tales of the paranormal and the creepy side of history. They're your one-stop shop to learn about cannibalism.
Haunted. Okay, yeah.
What's the best thing on your menu?
I say this Dahmer episode's a good way to segue into cannibalism.
Right. We got haunted dolls and 19th century spiritualism. That sounds pretty. That's right up my alley.
That's really cool.
You can tune in to This Podcast is Haunted. They're available on most podcast platforms. Again, that's This Podcast is Haunted. And then we have the Folklore Podcast with Mark Norman. He releases twice a month on the 1st and the 15th. He does folklore themes from around the world. The first episode is the first of each month, and that is written by Mark himself. And the 15th of every month, he releases an episode, and they do interviews with a leading expert in a field of research.
That's pretty cool.
And I feel like that's something we need to start doing, is reaching out to guests. Just swing for the fences. Like I told you, I was trying to get the cops that arrested Jeffrey Dahmer. I think they might be dead.
They're probably
dead,
yeah.
But, you know, I was beating on their doors and driving all around the country this week trying to find them. No bueno.
You're bothering their family members and... Oh, those poor, poor guys. I can't imagine walking into his fucking apartment, finding all the stuff they found.
Yeah. It smells like someone left an asshole laying around in here.
It smells like shit and dick.
Did I step on a dick? So let's, for lack of a better phrase, let's dig in to the Jeffrey Dahmer episode.
Ooh, yes. Well, little baby Jeffrey Dahmer. He was born in... Milwaukee, Wisconsin, May 21st.
Please tell me his middle name, because it makes me very happy.
Oh,
Jeffrey Lionel.
Lionel. That's his dad's name, which, if you're named Lionel, that's such a good
name. You're going to get some wedgies that are going to hurt your asshole growing up. For certain.
Your taint's going to be tore from your balls all the way to the top of your ass crack.
Isn't that a thing? Don't they do that to women during childbirth?
Yeah, huh?
An episiotomy.
Episiotomy, yeah.
They cut it.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Woo.
I'm closing my legs. I got my legs open a little bit. I'm closing them because that hurts.
It's hurting your man pussy.
It hurts to think about.
He was the eldest of two sons from his mother and father, Lionel and Joyce Dahmer. His childhood, they say, was pretty normal in his early childhood.
They said it was an extremely
he was a pretty shy and, like, reserved kid.
Yeah, but she had a horrible pregnancy with him.
She supposedly had a really, really bad pregnancy. Them two really didn't get along either.
They were giving her injections of barbiturates and morphine while she was pregnant.
Yes.
And that was just to relax her.
Yes. And this is according to Lionel's book that he released also.
That's more
as well.
Of a... that's not so much as a relax as it is... Go to fucking sleep.
Fuck you up. Yeah.
Go to sleep.
And I'm sure it's probably not good for you while you're pregnant either. But who am I? I'm not a doctor. What do I know? I would just assume.
I like to play doctor.
Now, around the age of 4, this is when I think that everybody seems to say that there was a change in his demeanor and to his attitude. When he was 4, he had a surgery to have a double hernia corrected.
And don't get it twisted. It was a double hernia in his scrotum.
Yeah.
In the scrotal sac. Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
It sounds horrible. And after that surgery, it completely, like, subdued him. This is kind of what put him into his weird,
I'm reading about the research, and they're saying immediately after that, he suffered from sexual inadequacy and insecurity, but that...
Man, that's why he had to jerk off on dead bodies.
Right. He was 4 when he got this done. What the... Can you even get a boner when you're that old?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can? All right, good. Thanks for clearing that up for me.
I have sons.
Yeah, so. I have daughters. I have to scream all the time, quit touching that! I don't know what it... Stop!
Now, Dahmer himself has stated about his home life when he was growing up that he always felt that he was living in a state of extreme tension. His mother was demanding constant attention, so she was an attention whore. She would work herself into these states of anxiety in order to get attention from Lionel.
When we watched, there's an interview done by Stone Phillips. On YouTube. We're going to play you some clips from that. They interview Lionel, and he seems like an exceptionally old-school, normal guy.
Yeah.
Whereas the mother, she seems like...
She's really uptight.
She is a fucking Looney Tune.
Yeah, it seems really like that she doesn't want her name to get... Her reputation and everything to be tarnished, which I could understand.
Well, fuck, your son ate fucking wieners.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, you're gonna get shit on a little bit.
To try to say you had nothing to do with that? Get real, bitch.
Whatever.
Get real.
And on one occasion, her mother, or his mother, I should say, attempted to kill herself by overdosing on Equinil pills, which is a tranquilizer, essentially. So
I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, she was a Looney Tune.
Mm-hmm.
Now... Going into elementary school years, he was noted by his teachers, I think it was like on his report cards, that he was very timid and extremely shy. And one of the teachers wrote that he seemed like he was a child who felt neglected. So teachers are like, you may want to
check
pay attention
out.
With your kid. Or
might
attention
want to check
kid.
And see if he's got any dead bodies buried anywhere or shoved in the closet. I understand that...
Keep track of them animal bones around the house, which we're getting ready to get into.
Yeah.
He had a big interest in animals, which is a big thing with serial killers. They always... Well, not always, but they usually start out with animals.
That's the one pattern I noticed with all the serial killers is dead animals and, like, sexual assaults when they're children.
Yep, that's a big thing. He collected large collections of, like, insects, dragonflies, butterflies. It was also a time where him and some friends would actually go out and collect roadkill. They would bring the carcasses back to his house.
Oh, there's going to be some good eating out here!
And in the woods back behind his house, he would dismember them. The friend said that he would actually store those organs inside of jars and keep them in his tool shed.
Wonder what the inside of this asshole looks like. Let's find out.
Now, I think we actually have some audio of him talking about little bit about his little animal diddlings.
We have some extremely nauseating interviews lined up. Jeffrey Dahmer, when he's talking to Stone Phillips.
Yeah.
This is when he is in prison, and his dad is there with him. But nonetheless, he's extremely transparent about the whole entire process. From when the second this became an obsession to the second he was arrested, he is exceptionally transparent about all of this. So let's roll it for him.
In ninth grade, in biology class, we had the usual dissection of fetal pigs.
Mm.
And I took,
he sounds
I
so
took
cute.
The remains of that home and kept
sounds
it,
like a fucking serial killer.
The skeleton of it. And I just started branching out dogs, cats.
Ooh, shove a squirrel up my ass.
I suppose it could have turned into a normal hobby like taxidermy.
Yeah, that's a fucking normal hobby.
And all I know is that I wanted to see what the insides of these animals looked like.
Oh, God.
There may have been some violence involved. Some
he's underlying so hard right now, you know it.
Feelings of violence.
Sorry about that wet spot on my
pants. It was a compulsion. It became a compulsion.
What would you do with the dead animals, Jeff?
I'd suck their dick.
Take them back in the woods.
And fuck them.
Skin them sometimes.
Wear their assholes on my necklace.
Slit them all the way open. Look at the organs. Feel them.
Can you describe what you were thinking?
Holy shit.
It was just mystifying to me how the insides of the animal looked.
Mystifying.
There was a sort of general excitement for me. I don't know why. It was exciting to see.
Woo!
Yeah.
Some kids get excited, you know, playing sports, riding their bike. He gets excited from finger banging a squirrel on the side of the road.
There's nothing quite as exhilarating as running a intestines of a rabbit through your fingertips while you fondle your balls. But he doesn't say in there that it was like sexually driven.
Yeah.
But the way he's describing it, it sounds like he's definitely pitching a tent for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not talking about the campsite.
Yeah, he doesn't come across as a camper.
God, he sounds like such a serial killer.
Yeah, there.
If I met really someone
does.
Like that, I'm like,
he really does.
That guy's a serial killer.
His father Lionel in one situation remembers he was under the house doing some work, and he remembers finding and removing some animal bones that were under the house. And
what the fuck is this?
Jeffy? Little baby Jeffy found these and was really, really amused by them. And he liked the noise that the bones made when you smack them together.
I like the sound I make when I smack my bone. Is that allowed? Are we going to be banned? We're okay. We're fine.
Okay. Now, October of 1966, the family moves to Doylestown, Ohio. Woo, Ohio!
Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
Welcome to Bro, Ohio!
Yeah, this is hitting home now.
They were moving all over the place around that time, though.
Yeah, he was back and forth. Yeah,
he was like a chemist or something, the dad was.
Yeah,
he was
in school.
Yeah, going to college to be a chemist.
Yep. Joyce, she was pregnant with her second son at this time.
David.
Which Jeffrey was actually allowed to name, and he named David.
You know David, modern day, flash forward now, he's completely changed his name.
Yep.
He says, fuck that.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I would have done the same exact thing.
I don't want that butt herpy following me around
fuck
for the rest
that.
Of the
you'd life. Be had to deal with that question all the time.
Are you Jeffrey Dahmer's brother? You're not hungry, are you? If you are, I'm leaving.
And, Lionel received his degree at this time and, for, you know, to be a chemist. And that was actually for out of Akron, Ohio. Which isn't that where LeBron's from?
LeBron, the land.
Yeah. LeBron,
St. Mary, St. Vincent, stand up.
Yeah. In 1968, they moved again to Bath, Ohio. Dahmer asked, this is another little thing here that I have. Around this time is when, you know, he was really getting into animals, of course. And there's a time where he had asked his father, what would happen if, and I believe this was actually maybe at like dinner or something. He asked his father,
yeah,
what would
chicken
happen
bones.
If chicken bones were put into bleach. And he's like, Lionel's just like, oh, well, let's find out.
Lionel talked about at length during those interviews, he had thoughts about this like creepy shit when he was younger as
yes,
well.
Yes, he was bullied big time.
So that apple did not fall far from the tree on that one.
Yes, exactly. And they did, he actually showed his son how to bleach bones and later showed him how to preserve them.
That has to be the single worst decision that that man made in his entire life.
I would say.
It resulted in the death of 17 people.
Yeah, besides having Jeffrey swim out of his wiener, I think it's probably one of his biggest regrets.
The best part of you ran down the crack your mother's crazy ass.
Going into high school, or it's a little Jeffrey's becoming a little bit bigger now. High school, he was constantly known to be drunk, and he would constantly be smuggling in beer and liquor, and, listen, and he stored them in his locker.
You can't judge him for that because that is fairly normal.
Yeah,
they said I heard that. He brought a cup of gin to school, and all the other kids are like, "Hey, what that smells like? That smells like alcohol." And he just looked at the other kids and said, "This is my medicine."
Of course he did.
"This is my serial killer serum that I will ingest and kill all of you and wear your buttholes on my fingers
on
like
my butthole.
Like Chinese finger traps."
Is his drinking habits started right around the age of 14, and as we'll go into, he is a really bad alcoholic.
That was the first time I butt chugged something was when I was 14.
Damn Zimas.
Yeah.
And that's also when his compulsions towards necrophilia and murder became, you know, that he became aware of
them. It did not become physical at that point.
Yes.
It was an augmented reality at that point.
Yes. And once he got to the age where he was going through, you know, his good old puberty stage, he was starting to realize that, you know, he might be gay.
He was a homosexual.
Yeah. He began fantasizing at this time about dominating people and about dissection at the same time.
Yeah.
So those two things kind of went hand in hand with him. And I mean, going through, everybody handles their coming of age a little bit differently. It's a crazy time for your body.
There is not a wrong way.
I think I'm still going through puberty.
I think, yeah, well, sometimes if I step just right and my pants graze my genitalia perfectly, it goes off. And my doctor said that was something I should have expected during puberty, but I'm still dealing with it.
Well,
my wife's like, "Again?" Like, you know, we're at IKEA, and I'm like, I gotta fucking sit down. I gotta sit down for like 20 minutes.
Just give me some time. Give me some time. Now around 16, he came up with this rape fantasy. Haven't we all? And this was involving a particular male jogger that he would see.
Yeah, I read about this.
Yeah, this guy was...
Apparently, he was very handsome.
Yeah, Dahmer only would pick out victims that he was extremely attracted to.
Yes.
like I said, he was pretty much attracted to this jogger that he would see. He fantasized of rendering him unconscious and then having his way with his unconscious body, of course.
And taking a shit on his neck.
Yeah. To render him unconscious, so to knock him out, he planned to hide in a bush on the path that he had seen him running on with a baseball bat. Now,
seems plausible.
He went and he actually did this, but on the day that he did this, the jogger luckily did not come down through there.
Oh, man.
So he probably overslept or had the shits or something. So Dahmer did not attempt the plan again. He stated that this was his actual first plan to attack another person. So he kind of thought about it a little bit and planned it out. And this was at 16. This was his idea of a good idea.
He was probably sitting there listening to a Led Zeppelin record with his best friend. Like, "I was hiding in the woods today, and
I had this hard wood in my hand.
Really hot biker." I asked to see a sausage.
He hadn't asked for days. Now, he was, in high school, of course, he was looked at as like an oddball, but he was also also kind of like a class clown as well.
Yeah.
He was constantly doing pranks, like faking seizures in the middle of class.
Who hasn't done that to get out of a test, right?
And he would also fake that he had cerebral palsy. He would knock over items.
What a dickhead.
Yeah, he was just a shit. He was a little shit. And
he was carried over to prison. We'll get to that at the very end.
Yeah, exactly. And all these things that he would do, all the other students actually referred to them as doing a Dahmer. Like, I'm going to do a Dahmer.
I'm about to do a Dahmer real quick. Don't let me hit my head.
But little did they know, doing a Dahmer really means going to the science lab and fucking all the frogs.
And eating their neck bones.
Eating their neck bones. In 1977, Dahmer's parents decided to divorce. And
it was nasty. They hated each other.
Yeah, they even, this was in 77 when they decided to divorce, but they actually still it looks like they lived with each other until the next year, 78.
And June of 78, they split. They went their separate ways.
Lionel moved out because they were sick of fighting in front of him.
But they forgot something. They left Dahmer at the house. Kevin McAllister. They left him home alone.
In May of 78, Dahmer graduated. And Joyce was actually awarded custody of their younger son, David. She didn't want anything to fucking do with weird ass Jeffrey.
She said, "You know what?
He was 18. So
I was doing shots of morphine when I was pregnant with that stupid dick."
Yeah, he was 18, so he decided, you know, I'm just gonna stay.
I'm just gonna kick it.
I'm just gonna hang out with pops. And in 78, at the age of 18, this is when we get into his first murder.
June 18th, 1978.
Yes. He picked up an 18-year-old hitchhiker, and this gentleman's name was Stephen Hicks.
He was a 19-year-old white male.
Yes. He was 19, that's right.
Because we're going to cover all this, but he had he was exceptionally fond of minorities.
Yes, I think 10 out of his 17 victims were black.
Something like that. He did not dabble with Caucasian males.
No. He
except for the first one.
Yeah.
Must have tasted something didn't like.
He knew what he liked and knew what he didn't like. And you'll notice we're going to go into each one of these killings kind of as an individual thing.
Some are going to be more brief than others.
Some are going to be more brief. A lot of them are the same. He goes the same MO.
Drug, fuck, kill. Drug, fuck, kill.
Drug, fuck, kill, dispose of body. Yep. It's kind of the same thing. But then other ones that he was more fond of, he did a little bit more with, and then, you know, we'll get into that. But he had Hicks come back to his house for some drinks.
Well, Hicks was a hitchhiker, and he picked him up.
Yes, he picked up the hitchhiker first. He told him to come back to his house for some drinks.
For a few beers.
he of course, agreed, and they went back to Dahmer's house, drank some beers, listened to some music for a few hours. And this is according to Dahmer. Hicks had wanted to leave. He said he wanted to leave, but of course Dahmer didn't want him to.
Yeah, he tried to leave.
He did. And to keep him from leaving, he actually hit Hicks from behind twice with like a 10-pound dumbbell, which knocked him out. Once he was knocked out, he began to strangle him with the bar of that dumbbell.
"You're gonna let me fuck you right now, or you're gonna..."
Oh, he's not breathing.
Oh, God, he's dead.
He's not breathing. I'm really hungry right now.
This will make it easier. He took off poor Hicks' clothes. I don't think he raped him. He just beat off above his body.
That's confirmed. He did ejaculate on the corpse.
Yeah, that's kind of...
My mouth feels dirty for saying that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that may be kind of worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the ultimate display of...
Yeah.
It's like when you kill someone on Call of Duty and you teabag them.
It's exactly the same.
You're done. not coming back.
So Hicks's body just kind of chilled. The next day, Dahmer decided, you know, he was going to dissect the body in the crawl space. He buried his body parts in his backyard. Several weeks later, he dug those up, removed all the flesh from the bones.
Methodically.
Yeah, by putting the flesh in acid before, and then once it broke that down, he would flush it. So then he'd be left with the bones, and he would actually use a sledgehammer to crush the bones, and he scattered the remains in the woods back behind his house.
He flushed the shit down the toilet?
Yeah. This one he did, yeah.
Could you imagine the plumber on that one? Hey, right. It's me, Mario. I think you've got the thigh bone stuck here in your toilet.
You got the hunk of femur.
Yeah. I found a nose, a big old hairy nose in your toilet.
So that was the first, the good old first one there for him. That's what started it for him. August of 78, Dahmer enrolled in Ohio State University.
Yeah, he fucked that up, didn't
yeah.
he?
So there he had planned on majoring in business. He only spent one term at OSU, and due to his horrible alcohol problem, that term was completely unproductive, and he dropped out after like 3 months. So you can kind of see the booze is ruining him.
Yeah.
Well, more so than what he already is.
Right.
How
much more of a fuck up could he possibly yeah. be?
And something that the next year, January 1979, something that probably could have helped him out a little bit, is that he enlisted into the Army. He was trained as a medical specialist at Fort Sam Houston.
He initially wanted to be a military police officer.
Right. He was stationed in Baumholder, West Germany, and he served there as a combat medic.
Yep.
Now, during this time, though, two soldiers claimed that they were raped by Dahmer, one of which stated that he'd been repeatedly raped over a 17-month period.
How do you get repeatedly raped by another?
Why would it take you 17 months to say something to somebody?
I don't. Do I like this or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, he can't decide if he likes it or not. I'm real lonely.
This seems like one of those situations where his wife finally catches him doing it. He's like, well,
I swear I was right.
To show you how serious I am about not liking this, I'm going straight to the fucking cops right now. And I'm going to show them my ass, and they're going to tell you that I did not let someone do this.
And then the other guy, he claimed that he was drugged and then raped inside of an armored personnel carrier. So... Yeah, you can't hear the screams.
Cross that one off the bucket list.
In March of 1981, due to his performance deterioration because of all the alcohol he was still consuming.
And, well, his military time was right after Vietnam.
Right after Nam.
So there was a lot. Morale was horrible. So there was a lot of drug testing, a lot of alcohol testing. So they were constantly dinging his ass for being drunk.
Yeah, of course. He was honorably discharged.
Yeah, they said that they didn't think he would be a threat to the public upon being discharged. So he got
were they wrong?
Yeah, he seems fine to me. Seems like a really good guy.
Just pretty good guy. He just likes the booze.
He needs to get a couple of them AA meetings, and he'll be fine.
A couple thousand. March 24th, 1981, he was sent to Fort Jackson. This was after he was honorably discharged, and they had to do like a debriefing and everything for him. They told him, you know, well, they're going to give you a plane ticket pretty much to go anywhere that he wanted to. He didn't want to face his father and let him know that, you know, he got pretty much booted out of the Army. So he opted to go to Miami Beach. Why not? He, in Miami, he began working at a deli. And he
a normal hobby like taxidermy.
Yeah, he's carving meat. He rented a room at a motel, but of course he spent all of his money on alcohol and was kicked out of the motel. But he continued to work at the deli and spent his evenings then at the beach. And
doesn't seem like a bad life.
No,
honestly.
Not at all. Just working and then just crashing on the beach.
But then he was getting all kinds of tickets for being stupid.
Yeah, he's.
Disorderly conduct.
A lot of disorderly conduct.
Indecent exposure.
Well, September 1981, he actually called his father and asked him if he could return back to Ohio with him. He did return back, and he lived with his father and his stepmother. And they gave him chores to do around the house until he found a job.
So, I put this on Instagram this week. This is about the time that they were moving stuff around, and Jeffy's dad found a metal and wooden box, and his dad took it and said, I'm taking this down to my workshop. I'm going to open this thing up. I'm going to see what's in it.
And he was like, Dad, it's just some porn.
Yeah, he's like, no, if I can't have one square foot of privacy, I'm never fucking coming back here.
Yeah, he completely deep
it
out.
And his dad said, I don't care, Jeff. I'm opening this thing up. So he goes to take it downstairs, and then Jeff runs outside and comes around the back door and meets him at the stairs going down into the basement. And he says, "Dad, you know what? I'm going to be real honest with you. There's pornography in there. So let's let things blow over a little bit, and then I'll show it to you in the morning."
In the morning.
So flash forward to the next morning, Jeff comes down from his room, shows his dad the porno mags. It doesn't say anything about it being hetero or homo. It doesn't, I don't know.
What did he really have in the box?
He had the head of one of his victims and also the penis.
Yeah.
And he carried around like a badge shroud. Of honor. I don't know. Yeah. He carried it around and he would take it to work with him and keep it in his locker.
Yeah. We'll get into that. That's a complete different place where, now, 2 weeks after he returned, he was arrested for drunken disorderly conduct. He was fined $60 and a suspended 10-day jail sentence. Yep. So, nothing too crazy. And this is a thing like that I've noticed, like with a lot of his charges before he got, you know, hemmed up for all the murders, he like was getting slaps on the wrists.
Yeah,
$60 fines, $50 fines.
He molested a kid and got just a few months.
Yeah, that was it. This fucking justice system is fucking crazy.
He's come a long way. I can't even download fucking System of a Down videos without getting a letter from Time Warner about...
I've gotten one of those before.
Stop. You download one more Limp Bizkit song, you're done.
Oh, my beard just exploded on me.
It's fine.
Now, Lionel knew about his... knew about his alcohol consumption, and he did all he could to keep him clean. But of course, he couldn't. It was too much of a problem for him at that point in time. And after failing over and over again, he actually sent him to live with his grandmother. And this is in December of 91. It's like, I don't want to fuck with you, but I can send you to my mom.
They did say he was really fond of his grandma, though, that he would do anything for her.
Yeah, he was...
So I have to believe that she was a mother figure, since he did not have a mother figure. Because
she dipped.
Mom was a raging fucking...
Conosaurus wreck.
Psychopath.
Yeah. August 7th, 1982, Dahmer was arrested for indecent exposure after exposing himself to a crowd of 25 women and children.
Hey, kids!
Look at my dick!
Wanna see my balls?
Look at this shadow puppet I can make!
It's a baby elephant.
See the ears. He was convicted, of course, and charged a $50 fine plus court costs.
Jesus,
fucking
man.
Shit, dude. That's crazy.
But when he also, I have my notes here. When he moved in with his grandma, he got a job at the chocolate factory.
Yeah. We'll get into that. That's where I'm getting into next. 1985, he was hired at the Milwaukee Ambrosia Chocolate Factory.
Welcome to the Ambrosia Chocolate Factory. I'm Jeffrey Dahmer. I'll be doing your tour today.
I'll be packing your fudge today. He,
or unpacking your fudge. Everyone, look at it.
He, got, at this point in time, he got real big into the Milwaukee's gay scene. Because why not? It's fabulous.
I can't imagine they would have a very, cutting edge gay scene there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That's not the first place I think of when I think of like gay rights.
If I was looking for some good solid ass, I would have stayed in Miami for sure.
Right. Yeah. All them dark skinned boys like he would like.
Yeah, just beautiful skin.
No.
No, I'm not joking.
he often frequented the gay bars, the bookstores. Gay bookstores are a thing.
I guess there was,
or just bookstores.
There
in
was
general,
a world. There was a world before internet pornography.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess I got to think about that. And gay bathhouses. I just want to get into more like gay bathhouses. What's that about?
Next episode. We take you into a gay bathhouse.
And I love this next piece of info here. This was also around the time where. He saw in a store this lovely male mannequin, and he stole the mannequin from the store, took it back to Granny's house, cut some holes in it, and was using it as a sex doll.
Not a big deal.
No. And Granny found it, and she made him throw it out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she got to see that's...
Hey, what the...
It's asshole cut out and everything.
What the fuck is this?
I'm working on being a tailor, Granny.
I'm trying to watch Judge Judy and Price is Right. This thing won't quit staring at me.
I keep stabbing myself when I'm fixing my seams. Now, by late 1985, he became frustrated with you know, his sexual partners moving during sex. So he's fiending for that mannequin.
God.
So this is when he actually starts using sleeping pills with alcohol to knock people out and then rape them while they were unconscious.
Oh man.
After about 12 reported incidents in that area, the bathhouses in Milwaukee actually revoked his membership. And so he had to start using hotels after that.
Yeah, we're going to need that membership back. And if you could, just go ahead and wipe that off before you hand it to us. That'd be great.
In August of 86, Dahmer was arrested for masturbating in front of two 12-year-old boys.
Whoa. He was arrested for urinating in front of children.
Okay, yeah.
But he was shaking it like he was trying to choke it.
Yeah, trying to remove the sausage casing off the sausage.
Yeah.
Now, he admitted that he was doing this and was charged with indecent exposure, but changed his story later, saying that he was just urinating. He was just pissing.
I was just paying.
And then those charges were changed to a disorderly conduct.
Yes.
So a slap on the wrist for exposing himself to a group of children.
Yeah, he definitely got the easy way out on that.
If I'd have been one of those parents, we wouldn't have had to worry about these 17 victims. Because Mr. Dahmer would have been a victim.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. He would have been having a good time.
So this is where the fun starts.
Oh, yes. And this is where we get introduced to Mr. Stephen Toomey. This is November 1987. This is what I have.
Can I just go out on a limb here and stop you for a moment?
Sure.
Mr. Toomey had the most majestic red mullet.
Oh yes,
that I've ever seen. It was like
it's gorgeous.
Billy Ray Cyrus slash.
It's like Budnick off of
God.
Salute Your Shorts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Glorious red helmet.
It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. His name's spelled Toomey, but I've heard everybody say Toomey, so I'm just gonna say Toomey. There's a couple names here that I'm going to completely butcher, and I'm not really that worried about it. You guys will know who I mean if you know anything about it.
And Dahmer portrayed this as it wasn't a deliberate act.
Yeah. This was completely something that he wasn't planning on doing. He met Mr. Toomey at a bar and then actually talked him into going to the Ambassador Hotel where he was staying, actually where he had got the room for that night. And he said that he said he had no intention on murdering him, but he just intended on taking him back, drugging him, and raping him. But the following morning, he woke up to find Toomey on the bed with his chest crushed in and blood seeping from his mouth, and Dahmer had bruises on his fists and one forearm.
What a blind rage to crush somebody's chest with your bare hands.
Yes, and to his pretty much dying day, he stated that he had absolutely no memory of killing him.
Yeah.
And he'd later told investigators that he could not believe this had happened.
Well, he also talked about that he was possibly attempting to rip his heart out.
Yes. And this gets real crazy because, like I said, he was at a hotel. So he wakes up, finds a dead body. He has to get rid of the body. So what does he do? Well, he goes out, gets a suitcase.
Louis Vuitton bag.
Yeah, he buys a suitcase, puts his body in the suitcase, takes him out. Back to his grandmother's house.
Grandma, you don't have to cook dinner tonight.
1 week later, so he kept his body around for a little bit. He cut off the head, the arms, and the legs from the torso, and then pretty much filleted the bones from the body, and then cut the flesh up into small enough pieces to where he can, you know, put them in the bags. Put them in acid, dissolve them, smash the bones, and
make all of his troubles go away.
Yeah, just get rid of everything. The dismemberment process for this, looks like I said, took about 2 hours to complete, and that's for all of his remains, besides the head. Everything was thrown in the trash. Now, 2 weeks after his murder, Dahmer kept Toomey's head in a blanket. After 2 weeks,
He's had
this head for like over a month. He takes the head and decides to boil it in Soilex and bleach. Soilex, I think it's like a laundry detergent.
Yeah. It's the shit that kills AIDS.
Yeah, exactly. And that ended up making the skull really brittle, and he had to destroy it and get rid of it. So the poor trophy's gone now at this point. 2 months after the murder of Toomey, Dahmer found a 14-year-old Native American boy named James Dox Tater.
I like to say just Dick Tater.
Dox Tater. That's a fun last name.
Yeah. He was young though. He was 14.
14. Yeah, this is a big jump for him.
So the one thing that people talk about Dahmer is he is a serial killer. Okay, this guy was a fucking child molesting pedophile as well.
He was a piece of shit.
Which in my eyes, that's worse than being a serial killer.
Yeah.
Because Dexter, he was a wonderful serial killer.
Fucking love it.
He did a phenomenal job at keeping the world safe. Whereas Dahmer, he was, you know, genuinely hurting children. Besides taking their lives away.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, he promised Dox Tater that he would pay him $50 for some nudes.
Yeah.
On his good old Polaroid.
Dox Tater's brother reached out after the fact to some people and said that it was $300. Like, it was more of a noble thing that he went back to... He did not go back to that house for $50.
Yeah, yeah, they had to change it. And that's another thing, is like, a lot of these things was a $50. Like,
yeah,
I'll come back to my house and I'll give you $50 to fuck me. Or yeah. I'll get $50 right. to pose naked. Right. It's always $50. These people had low standards.
I said Dox Tater was hanging around gay clubs and bars a lot.
Yeah.
And that's how Dahmer stumbled upon him.
And these two, they had sex. Dahmer drugged him, strangled him, and his body was left in Grammy's cellar for 2 weeks before he dismembered it.
Mm.
His
brother also was very adamant that Dox Tater was not gay.
Okay. Well, but it seems as if he voluntarily had sex with him, but
there's not a lot I wouldn't do for $300 when I was 14 years old.
Yeah, that's very true.
You wanna
that's
put
like
this,
a million
you
when you're
put
adult.
This wiener in your mouth? I'll let you chop me up for $500.
March 24th, 1988, Dahmer met a 22-year-old bisexual man named Richard Guerrero. This was outside of a gay bar called The Phoenix, which just sounds like a gay bar.
It does. I would definitely party there, though.
I would, too. That sounds fabulous. He brought him back to his grandma's house after promising $50 to spend the night with him.
They engaged strictly in oral sex.
Yes. Yes. He drugged him, strangled him with a leather strap. And after he was dead, Dahmer just decided to go ahead and blow him some more.
Yeah.
So he was, to put it mildly, so he started oral sex on him after he was dead.
Oh, God.
Within 24 hours after that, he had dismembered the body, and the remains were disposed of in the trash. And the skull was retained, but then later destroyed several months later. So he's still doing the same type of thing to preserve these skulls, but he's just fucking it all up.
Yeah.
It's too much of
He'll find his niche, give him time.
Yeah, he'll get there. He'll figure out how to do it. April 23rd, Dahmer brought another man back to his house. After drugging the man, they both heard his grandma say, "Is that you, Jeff?" And Dahmer replied to her as if he was alone. But Granny could tell that he wasn't alone. And instead of killing him, he actually took him to the hospital and dropped him off while he was unconscious. So he barely, you know, got out of that one. September 1988, Granny finally had enough of his shit, with all the bad smells coming from the basement and the trash and his constant habit of bringing home young men. So yeah. She made him kick rocks. She made him get out.
After I'm working that, at the chocolate factory. I can afford my own place, all right?
Yeah, he's...
Jesus, Grandma!
He's making big dollars. Now, he moves out to his own apartment. It's September 25th. So he moves into his new apartment. The next day, he was arrested for drugging and sexually fondling a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Who he lured to his house, asking him to pose for a new
picture. So that just speaks volumes to the social skills of Jeffrey Dahmer that...
He was a talker.
Well... Not that. The only way you can get people to come back to the house with him is offer him money.
He was convicted of second-degree sexual assault and of enticing a child for immoral purposes. And his sentencing was actually suspended until May of 1989.
Yeah.
Now, Dahmer actually ended up moving back in with his grandma on March the 20th. So, Granny finally gives in to him. Now, before his sentencing for the you know, him fondling that 13-year-old, he claimed his fifth victim. And this is a 24-year-old mixed-race man who's an aspiring model named Anthony Sears. They met at a gay bar the night of March 25th. He brought him back to his grandmother's house where they had oral sex, and then Dahmer drugged and then strangled him.
Yeah, he kept his skull and kept his genitals.
Yes. The next morning, his body was brought up to the bathtub, cut off his head, and started, you know, cutting off all the meat from the bones.
Yeah.
And about him keeping his head, he stated that he found Sears to be exceptionally attractive. Mm. So he was extremely attracted to him. So he saved his head, he preserved it, and his cock and balls.
I'm gonna keep this with me.
Yeah, he kept the old twig and berries too. And those are the ones he actually stored in his work locker when he, you know, at the chocolate factory. The chocolate factory. Just saying that just makes me giggle.
What's wrong, Jeff? I just really hate my fucking job.
I need to go to my locker.
Where do you work at? I work at a chocolate factory. I'm the chocolate taster.
God damn it. May 23rd, 1989.
He was the ultimate chocolate taster, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Dahmer was sentenced to 5 years probation and 1 year at the House of Correction with work release. He also had to register as a sex offender. So he had a work release, so he could go while he was, you know, doing his time, and he could go visit his locker.
Yeah.
Touch on some dick and balls.
The important
for a
thing to remember here is that he's officially on paper now. I mean, he's a registered sex offender at this point.
He's a registered sex offender. He was actually paroled 2 months before his release date and went back to grandma and moved. Actually, he moved into Oxford, the Oxford Apartments. This was in May of 1990.
That was the kingdom.
This is when shit gets crazy once he moves into this place. When he moved, of course, he took Mr. Sears' skull, scalp, and genitals with him because you don't want to be leaving something that valuable behind.
The movers were like, you want to grab this box? He's like, no, I'll carry that one.
Now, within a week of moving out, he killed his sixth victim. This is Raymond Smith. He was a 32-year-old prostitute who Dahmer, of course, promised $50 for sex. Yeah. Dahmer gave him a drink with 7 sleeping pills and then strangled him.
Must have been a big motherfucker.
That was 7 sleeping pills will fuck you up. The next day, he made sure, this is when the Polaroids really became a big thing. He went, he got the Polaroid, took a bunch of pictures of his body in suggested positions, and then dismembered the body.
You have his name as Ricky Beeks? I have it as Raymond Smith as well.
Raymond Smith, yeah.
He had 2 different names.
Okay, I have it as Raymond Smith, yeah.
And Dahmer used this guy, he kept his bones around the apartment as like altar type deals.
This is when he started the whole altar thing.
A dedication.
Yes. Where he could remain calm and he's a fucking weird guy.
And honestly, these victims now, we can kind of start blowing through them because it's all the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. But this is when he actually started, which is, I don't understand. Let's go through this here. He boiled his legs, arms, pelvis in a steel kettle with Soilex. He dissolved the rest of the skeleton in a container with acid, but then he spray painted his skull and put it back by Sears' skull.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the spray painting was for, and I want to say I think it was gray.
Yeah, it was
because
gray.
Then he would spray paint all the dick and balls and the heads the gray color.
Yeah.
Which is fucking weird.
Probably part of his fantasy.
Preservation or something.
His fantasy was probably in black and white, just because he's a fucking weirdo.
this one's actually a funny one here. About a week after he killed Raymond Smith,
He lured another man to his apartment, but he accidentally drank the wrong drink. He drugged himself and passed out. And I believe somewhere I read that he actually got raped that night. That guy raped him after he passed out. So he woke up and realized that the man was gone, along with several pieces of his clothing, $300, and a watch. So the raper got raped.
Yeah, that shit coming, though, didn't
he? Yeah, exactly. Let's kind of get into a lot of these, because a lot of these are... We're getting into his big time here.
Yeah. The next one I have is Ernest Miller. He was 24 yeah. years old. He was a black male as well. He was offered $50 to come back to the apartment of Dahmer. He met Ernest Miller in front of a bookstore. And this is another instance of him drugging the guy, slitting his throat, and then he took the pictures. He put this guy's biceps in the freezer.
Yeah, why not?
Right, but he also kept the entire skeleton of this gentleman, and he hung this skeleton up in his wardrobe, kind of like this.
I think this is the guy. Did you say he cut his throat?
Yeah, he slit his throat.
Yeah, he slit his throat. Yeah. I had Edward Smith there as well. I think it was either before or right after him. This was one where he would place the skeleton in the freezer.
I have Edward Smith as well. Okay. He's so small here.
Yeah. And he said that he actually felt really rotten about this one because due to his, the way that he tried to preserve everything, he was unable to keep any part of his body. So he felt rotten about that murder because he couldn't keep anything from it.
I just felt so rotten about this one.
What a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Next I have a 22-year-old father of one, David Thomas.
Yeah, the owner of Wendy's hamburgers.
The old
bastard from Wendy's.
You
ever had a Frosty, my boy?
He gave Thomas the drink, and he said he didn't feel attracted to him at all.
Yeah.
But he was afraid to allow him to awake because he didn't want him to get angry about being drugged. So therefore he strangled him, cut up his body. Same thing. Now, after this murder, Dahmer took a little break, about a 5-month hiatus.
I did note that
he went on a little break
for Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas,
his family, they weren't very concerned when he went missing because he would oftentimes go on like a hiatus away from the family to devote all of his time towards his rap career.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah. This is like when Run DMC and shit was blown up.
Yeah, that's great. February 1991, Dahmer met a 17-year-old man named Chris Strotter.
Curtis,
my bad. Now, it says that he, you know, lured him to his apartment to pose for pictures.
He met him at a bus stop.
Bus stop.
And it was for a gay youth Milwaukee. It was a gay club for youth in Milwaukee called Demetra.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, Dahmer drugged and strangled Strotter with a leather strap.
I have some accounts for this one that he didn't drug this one.
Oh, really?
I have some that he was drugged and some that he wasn't.
Yeah, I think where I got it, he was. Yeah. I'm assuming he probably was because it's, you know, that's what he does.
Yeah.
He kept his skull, hands, genitals, and took pictures of the dismemberment process for him.
Yep.
Less than 2 months after that, April 7th, Dahmer met a 19-year-old man named Errol Lindsay.
Earl. That's E-R-R-O-L.
Yeah.
Earl.
Not Earl. Right. Earl. Now...
He met him in the same bookstore as he met Ernest Miller.
Yeah. Now, he was supposedly straight. He was a straight male. He lured him to his apartment, drugged him, drilled a hole in his head, and then this is where he poured the muriatic acid into it.
Right.
According to Dahmer, he actually woke up during this and said, "I have a headache. What time is it?" And Dahmer, being the classy lad that he is, he responded by drugging him again.
Yeah. Time for you to fucking die.
That's what fucking time it is, yeah. Asshole.
So he was a little groggy when he woke up.
Yeah, he drugged him and then strangled him. Cut his head off, kept his skull.
And we'll get into
all the
reason
usual.
He would drill holes into their skulls and he would pour boiling water in there. He would pour muriatic acid. Yeah. This was an attempt to get a completely submissive being, like a sex zombie.
Yeah.
That he could completely dominate and control, and he covers that in his interview. And he's very, he's, like we said before, he's very transparent about the entire process.
Yeah, because like we said, he does not like a mover. Right. He wants you to sit there and just let him do what he's got to do.
Fucking lay still! I don't know how many times I've had to... Never mind.
Yo, let's not go there.
Move on. I'm not trying to go to jail.
apartment, his other residents of the apartment around this time started to complain big time to the apartment managers.
They said it.
About the smell.
They said his fucking cooking stinks.
Yeah, they were complaining about the smell, about objects always falling, and chainsaws.
Yeah.
So you got a guy firing up a fucking chainsaw in an apartment building.
The funny thing is, they said that his fucking cooking smells terrible, but he never brings home groceries. Never see him bring home groceries.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Smells like he's frying dicks up there.
God. Smells like smashed assholes and vomit.
The excuse that Dahmer gives the manager is fucking priceless. First, he tells them it was a freezer that had broken and all the contents inside of there had spoiled. And on another occasion, he told him that one of his tropical fish had died, and that's what the smell was.
It's fudgesicles and fish. They all went at the same time.
So now we're going to get into a little bit of experiment here. This is where he starts experimenting a little bit more. This is May 26, 1991, and I'm going to butcher this guy's last name, but it's all right. Dahmer meets 14-year-old, Konarak
Synthesomophone.
I'm just going to call him Synth.
This family, this is an Asian, actually was Laotian, which
Laotian,
is,
yeah.
I can't say for sure exactly what Laotian is.
I looked it up, but
I don't remember.
I think it's Korean.
Yeah. The family is foreshadowing. They named him after a cell phone that never got off the ground.
He, went on his typical spiel, offered money to come to his apartment to pose for some pictures.
He met him at the mall, which
met him at the mall.
Malls are fucking badass in the early 90s.
Yes. He was actually a younger brother of the boy who he'd molested back in 1988.
Right.
He was reluctant to the proposal originally. But then he changed his mind, went back to the apartment, and posed for some pictures in his underwear. And then Dahmer drugged him, performed oral sex on him, and then drilled a hole into his skull. Now, this is where he put in the muriatic acid again into his frontal lobe. Before he fell unconscious, though, Dahmer brought the boy to his bedroom, where there was actually a naked body of another man named Tony Hughes, who Dahmer had killed 3 days earlier.
Oh, yummy.
Now, Dahmer says that he believes that Synthesomophone saw the body, but he did not react to seeing it.
Probably not, because he's got a head full of acid.
Yeah. He became unconscious in the bedroom.
Did they have sex before he escaped? I think they did.
Yeah, I don't...
Because,
yes, they had to have, because whenever they find him.
Yeah.
Some point in time, they do end up having sex.
Dahmer had sex.
Dahmer had sex, yeah. He brings him to his bedroom, and then Synth falls, he passes out. Dahmer chugs a couple beers, laying next to him, and then just decides to leave the apartment to drink at a bar. He comes back later. I think it's like early in the morning, so it's like early in the next morning.
He's just getting so bold at this point.
Yeah, he's getting too confident. He comes back and he finds him, Synth, sitting on a curb, right at the street corner, talking in Laotian to three women who are near him. Now, Dahmer comes up to them, tells him that, you know, he's my lover, he's drunk, let me take him back to the house. He starts taking him back to the house, but the women are freaking out, and they're like, we've already called 911.
They know him.
Yeah, exactly. So they know something crazy is going on. The officers get there. Dahmer talks to him pretty normally. He's had plenty of time to cool down here.
Very persuasive, because these cops were not concerned at all.
They did not care. The three women kept trying to tell the officers that Synthesomophone was bleeding from his ass. And whenever Dahmer grabbed him to bring him back to the house, he was obviously trying to get away. But the cops told the women, you know, just to butt out and shut the hell up and not to interfere with a domestic dispute like this.
Butt out.
Yeah, did butt out. No pun intended. The officers actually covered him up in a towel and walked him back to Dahmer's apartment. So they walked him back to Dahmer's place.
Yeah.
He showed the officer, this is kind of getting cocky again, he actually showed the officer a couple Polaroids that he took of him while he was semi-naked to be like, you know what, this is my boyfriend. See, I took these pictures of him. This is something that he wanted to do. the officers noticed the smell, and they decided to have a look around. Dahmer told him to go ahead, and according to Dahmer, he looked into the bedroom, but did not take like a long look around. So he just kind of half-assed glazed in there and didn't see anything, and you know, took it as what it was. He didn't notice the 57-gallon drum he had chilling in the corner of his room.
That's for cleaning bricks.
And yeah, that when the officers were leaving, they told Dahmer to take good care of him and left.
Yeah. Well, and they have the recording. I couldn't find it, but the officers cleared the scene, and this is quote their radio traffic. He said, "The intoxicated Asian naked man was returned to a sober boyfriend."
Oh God!
No further incident.
That's awesome. I love it. I can't even imagine that.
But the thing is, at what point during all of this, they didn't run his social security number? They would have seen that
he had a past,
a sexual predator.
Yeah,
there was a background attached there.
They could have pretty much stopped everything right there. Yeah.
Those two cops were fired.
Oh, were they?
They were fired. They sued to get their jobs back. They got their jobs back, and then they were awarded Officer of the Year by the Milwaukee Police Association for their gallant efforts to re-secure their jobs.
Jesus.
That's fucking nauseating.
That is crazy. After the police left, he injected another dose of muriatic acid into his brain, and this actually proved to be fatal. Following day, he took a leave of absence from his work to get rid of the bodies that he had in his room.
I'm gonna need the day off.
Yeah, I got some stuff I gotta tend to.
He got fired shortly after that.
He did, yeah. He got fired after that. He got rid of both the bodies and kept both of their skulls. So after disposing of the bodies there, Dahmer goes to Chicago. He meets a 20-year-old named Matt Turner at a bus station. He asks Turner to come back to Milwaukee for a photo shoot, a professional photo shoot. Once he got to the apartment, he was drugged, strangled, dismembered. And then 5 days later, July 5th, Dahmer met a 23-year-old named Jeremiah Weinberger from Chicago, in a bar, brought him back to his apartment. Same thing with spending the weekend with him.
He did find there was a much more prolific gay community in Chicago.
Yes.
There was no fun to be had in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he'd already cleared that area out. Yeah. he drugged Weinberger and twice injected boiling water into his skull, which put him in a coma, and then he died 2 days later. July 15th, 24-year-old Oliver Lacey. Lacey agreed to come back for nude photos.
To go back to Weinberger, he was like half Puerto Rican, half white, so he tried something besides African Americans.
A little out of his.
And then went back.
Typical. Yeah, exactly.
Which, and also another funny story about the Weinberger thing is before they left Chicago to go back to Milwaukee, Weinberger asked his friend, he said, "Hey, do you think this guy's okay?" And his friend's like, "Oh, yeah, he seems great. Just go back and have fun with him, you know?" And they went back. And obviously, the friend was completely tore up after that.
Yeah, he pretty much signed his own death wish or death warrant there. Oliver Lacey got back to his house. He tried to knock him out a little bit different. He tried to knock him out with chloroform. And after that, it didn't work. So, you know, he had to go back to his old ways there. He had called in work again to give him a little bit more time off. Which they gave him, but of course they fire him after this. Yeah.
He was fired on July 15th.
Yeah. And Lacey ended up strangling. He had sex with his corpse, dismembered him, kept his head and his heart in his refrigerator and his skeleton in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Now after Dahmer found out he was fired, right after, he found 25-year-old Joseph Braidhoft.
And the funny thing about the funny thing about Braidhoft is he was standing at the bus stop with a six pack under his arms. I don't know why that's noted. But
that's perfect for
that could have been me for Dahmer. That could have been me. Okay.
Braidhoft was strangled and left on Dahmer's bed, covered with a sheet for 2 days. On July 21st, he removed the sheets to find that his head was completely covered in maggots.
Damn it!
Where he cut off the head afterwards, cleaned it, placed it in the refrigerator.
They said he put his arm, some of like his bicep muscles, in the refrigerator. And when the cops came, it was definitely completely apparent that he had been nibbling on this arm for a while. And
it was like his beef jerky.
It was like on a styrofoam plate with aluminum foil over it. You know, when you come back home from a shitty cookout, you're like, I got like 15 burgers in there under. And that's kind of how he had the arm stored in there. And then Dahmer, in his interviews, he said he had to go through a trial and error to find out which part of the body was the most, the delicious, I should say, which was
the most appetizing,
tastiest.
Yeah.
He said a lot of the muscles in the body are kind of hard to chew through. They're just entirely too hard. So I don't know if there's like some prime USDA part of the body, in case you're wondering what part.
The sirloin, sirloin of the human.
Give me that ribeye!
July 22nd, this is a day after he finds the maggot head. He approaches a group of three guys, offers him $100 to pose naked and drink beer and keep him company. One of the men, 32-year-old Tracy Edwards, agrees.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't got no problem doing that.
I ain't got shit to do. I'm bored. Let's go. When they arrive, though, Edwards notices the smell from the apartment, and he notices the muriatic acid on the floor.
Listen, I have worked in or around law enforcement for a long time, and the smell of a dead body is something that never leaves you. It's something that completely turns your stomach, and it's not something that you smell and then disregard.
Right.
That's something you smell and you're like, okay, that's a dead body.
An appetizing.
I can't be in here.
Yes. Dahmer tells Edwards to turn his head to look at his tropical fish and decides to slap a handcuff on one of his wrists. He can't get the other wrist, but somehow this is the thing that I find crazy is that he can't get his other hand, but then Edwards still voluntarily goes into his bedroom with him afterwards.
Well, I think it's because Dahmer had a knife.
Okay. Maybe I didn't get that.
And then like at one point Dahmer put the knife on his chest.
Okay, yeah.
And like,
I got that.
His chest, and then he put his ear up to his heart.
Yeah, that's what he tells him he's going to eat his heart.
Yeah, he says, I'm going to
eat your heart.
I'm going to eat your heart.
Yes.
And this guy's like, what the fuck, motherfucker? I'm going to kill you and these motherfucking tropical fish.
He notices a lot of stuff whenever he goes into their bedroom. He sees
the barrel of acid.
Yeah, he sees the barrel of acid. He sees some naked male posters on the wall. And The Exorcist 3 was playing on the TV,
which
played a big part in Dahmer's life.
They said he was fond of all of the Exorcist movies.
Yeah. He took a lot from him. Dahmer brandished the knife and told Edwards that, you know, we're going to take these naked pictures right now. He's getting pretty insistent. So, you know, to appease him, he unbuttons his shirt and saying, you know, he'll allow the pictures as long as he removes the handcuffs and put the knife away. Dahmer takes his attention and starts watching the TV for a little bit.
It said that this guy kept on going to the bathroom.
Yes, he would go to the bathroom.
Dahmer was allowing it for him to do this back and forth, but they were drinking, and he could have broke the seal at that point.
Yes, he was trying to decide what to do. He just thought he was either going to, you know, jump out of a window or run through an unlocked front door to get away. He was trying to make his you know, way out.
Or just fuck him and get it over with.
Yeah.
Man, cut my dick off and get this shit done, man.
Edwards waited around pretty much until he saw that Dahmer was not paying attention for a second, and he requested to go to the bathroom again. When he got up from the couch, he saw that Dahmer was not holding the handcuffs. So he punched him in the face, knocking him off balance, and he ran out the front door.
You get down with your bad self.
11:30 p.m., July 22nd, Edwards flags down two Milwaukee police officers, and the officers notice that he's handcuffed.
You're not going to believe I just got out of this apartment, and this guy, he's got fucking dicks and heads and arms and shit all over his... I need fucking help in here. I saw a dick, and it was cut off.
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, you can't really ignore that. He says that, you know, he was pretty much held prisoner. There's a guy with a big knife. Let me take you back to him. So he brought him back to the apartment. Dahmer made, you know, was pretty, he went along with it.
It's the cops said that Dahmer was shaking like a poodle shitting razor blades. Yeah. He was completely nervous.
And he couldn't really do anything about it.
Yeah, but like we said before, he was extremely sloppy at this point. Yes. And the fucking place was it was in disarray.
Right. They found the key to the handcuffs beside the dresser. They got the handcuffs off of him. He told them that there was the knife underneath his bed. They found the knife underneath his bed. They also found the Polaroids.
Well, I said when Dahmer's like, yeah, the key's on the nightstand. Go get it. And the cop went to go get it. And then Dahmer made like a quick dash to go around the cop to get it himself.
And he said, don't.
And the backup officer's like, no, get the fuck back, boy. Back up.
So they found the knife. They found the drawer that had all of the Polaroids, and these are the Polaroids that he took whenever he was dismembering the bodies.
The cop found the Polaroids, and he's looking at these Polaroids, these chopped up bodies. And he sees that the decor and the furniture matches the photos, and he looks back at his partner and he says, "Cuff this motherfucker because this is the real deal."
Yes, and Dahmer saw that they were holding the Polaroids, and he actually tried to fight the officers, you know, to get away.
Yeah.
And they, of course, quickly overpowered him, cuffed him, put his hands behind his back, and called for, you know, additional units at this point.
They said when they got him on the ground face down that Dahmer just looked at the cops and he said, like, just defeated, said,
he said,
for what I've done, I should be dead.
Yes. At this time, you know, they get the investigators get there, and this is when they find everything. This is a lot of shit they find. They found 4 severed heads in the kitchen, 7 skulls, some of which were painted and some of which were bleached.
Yeah, he had like the memorial,
the altar
shrouds all over the fucking house.
This was in his bedroom in his closet. They found 2 human hearts, some arm muscles wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, the human hearts were in the fridge.
In the fridge, yep. 2 entire skeletons, a pair of severed hands.
And then he had a freezer of some type, and he had an entire torso and a bag of organs in there.
2 severed and preserved penises, a mummified scalp, and the 57-gallon drum they found that had 3 torsos.
These were some good-looking dicks. He didn't keep just any dick.
They found all 74 Polaroids that he had taken, detailing all the dismemberments. Yeah.
There was also a mummified scalp.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Yeah. Because why not? You're like, you know.
Fuck it.
We go blonde or brunette tonight.
YOLO.
Yeah. So then we flash forward to the trial. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oof.
He was he completely gave in during the investigation. He said he did not want an attorney.
Nope.
He started from the beginning, and he told everything. He entered a plea deal. Well, I shouldn't say a plea deal. He entered a plea of guilty but insane in 15 of the 17 murders.
Right.
February 15th, a 10-2 majority vote, a jury found Dahmer to be sane in each murder, which I don't know how I feel about that. He was a Looney Tune.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. I mean, there's no doubt.
He developed this at such a young age, and this was not normal. No sane person could do anything like this. It was definitely a sickness, for sure. But absolutely. I mean, the testimony from the defense and the prosecution was, extremely gruesome. One expert testified that Dahmer periodically removed body parts of his victims from the freezer and ate them, which
yummy.
We've already established that.
Yes.
Another testified that there was a lie Dahmer told to make himself seem sane. The jury deliberated slightly more than 10 hours. On February 17th, Dahmer was sentenced to 15 consecutive life terms. This was all in Wisconsin. Yeah. He did have some stuff that he needed to clean up in Ohio as well.
Yeah, for Stephen Hicks. Yeah, he told them exactly. He actually ended up telling them exactly where, you know, they could find the remains of Stephen Hicks, and they found them in Ohio, charged him with another life sentence.
And then Dahmer got his moment he read a prepared statement in which he expressed sorrow for the pain he had caused to the victims.
And well, let's get into the
made it all better.
To the sentencing here. 17 essentially 17 life sentences, 16 life sentences, something like that. Wisconsin, unfortunately, had abolished the death penalty in 1853. So that wasn't even an option.
Kind of not really.
He wanted the death penalty.
Yes.
He seeked the death penalty, Dahmer himself, because right. he wanted to die for what he did. But, you know, life sentences is all he's going to get. 3 months after his conviction of the 15 murders, that's the 15 murders in Milwaukee, that's when he was extradited to Ohio to be tried for the first victim, Stephen Hicks.
Open and shut.
45 minutes, they were in and out, guilty, 16th life sentence. Now, going to his prison terms, this is the end of old Dahmer.
Yeah.
This was actually the first attempt of someone to kill him.
Yeah.
July 1994, there's an inmate named Osvaldo DeRuthi. He attempted to slash Dahmer's throat with a razor that he had embedded in his toothbrush. But it didn't actually end up hurting him that bad. He was already ready to die at that point, and
Dahmer wasn't even upset about it.
He wasn't upset at all. And even with the next thing that actually killed him, it was actually pretty, he didn't freak out or anything. This is November 28th, 1994. He was actually let to leave his cell for work detail, they were cleaning up showers in the prison gym.
Yeah, staff bathrooms and staff gym.
With two other inmates, one named Jesse Anderson and another named Christopher Scarver. They were left unsupervised while cleaning for about 20 minutes. And then at approximately 8:10, Dahmer was found on the floor bathroom with severe head and facial wounds. Scarver,
they found a bloody broom handle nearby, but they don't think that was related to him dying.
Scarver actually went back to his cell after this incident and told a prison guard, "God told me to do it. Jesse Anderson and Jeffrey Dahmer are dead."
Yeah.
So they go, they find that his head was bludgeoned with a 20-inch metal bar that Scarver had kept in his cell.
Anderson wasn't necessarily in prison for the most detestable thing. He was in there for murdering his wife.
Murdering his wife, yeah. We've all been there. Yeah. they rushed both men to the hospital. But
that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They were done sucking air.
Yeah, exactly. They were both dead by the time they got there, or they died while they were in the hospital.
And then to go to Christopher Scarver, he was on antipsychotic medication.
Yeah. He said it wasn't a premeditated attack,
no,
but he had the bar.
They said
stashed.
That he always carried the bar around. Like the fucking prison knew that he carried a bar around. I'm like, that's Christopher Scarver.
wacky Scarver guy.
He's Jesus. He can carry that around.
This fucking nuts, man. This whole thing is crazy.
And Scarver was in prison for murdering a coworker. He claimed his boss was racist, and he took care of that shit. So, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
And just like that, the legend of Jeffrey Dahmer was
we kind of hang our hats on the theory of the unknown, and we kind of do weird shit. There was nothing unestablished about this at all.
Right.
So I have to throw in a little bit of a conspiracy. At a mall, back in the early 90s, it was John Walsh, the guy from America's Most Wanted. His son was abducted and murdered. Yep. He had his head chopped off. Several eyewitness accounts place Jeffrey Dahmer at that mall the day that this child was abducted and murdered, which he was in Florida at that time. There was a print room at the Miami Herald, the newspaper. There was a writer, Willis Morgan. He saw the picture of Dahmer being ran across the newspaper, and he said, "That's the guy from the fucking mall." And there were several people that reached out to the FBI that said, "We saw this," and gave, they did sketches, and they all looked like Dahmer. The sketch next to Dahmer's mugshot is the exact same thing.
That's awesome.
There was people that, like I said, reached out to the FBI that said, "There's a guy trying to coax children, and he's been doing it all day long, all different places of the mall." So this could potentially be an 18th victim that was never
established.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. It's a suckle.
It's the fucking rabbit hole.
It's a circle.
Go down the rabbit hole.
So we're going to close it fast because we're out of time. We usually ramble and say thank you. Thanks for all the shares. We went up a bunch of episodes this week.
Yeah, thank you guys.
A lot of downloads. Please keep sharing us. Keep talking to us. We love to talk to people.
I love you.
And I know we kicked around this when we first started doing this, closing with animal fights. What about a silverback gorilla?
Ugh.
And five, like those badass monitors, like those fucking lizards. Yeah, those really mean ones that can run really fast. Five monitors versus a silverback gorilla.
I'm going silverback.
You are?
I am, yeah.
All it takes is one of those motherfuckers to latch onto his throat.
Yeah.
And Harambe's going down for sure.
True. But the strength of a fucking silverback is nuts. If I feel we went to. This is a really stupid story, and has nothing to do with relevance, but a little bit. We went to we go to Pensacola, Florida, a lot, and there's a little zoo down there. And we were walking through, and there was these little monkeys. And as we were leaving,
throwing shit at
people. No, one of the monkeys found a rat, and it was just taking it and just fucking smashing it against the concrete and flipping it around.
That's just a small monkey,
and that's just a small monkey. Yeah, a full silverback, I think could. Probably fuck up most animals.
Yeah, five monitors squash them.
Let's just do that. every episode. We're just gonna end on an animal fight. Who's gonna win?
It's your turn next week.
I'll figure one out. We'll bring it to the Brohio Nation to see what you guys think.
Thanks again for listening, guys.
Thank you guys very much. We will see you soon. Thank you.